again, everyone. I'm Brian Deanovellis. This is the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. The season just keeps getting better and better for St. John's. The Johnnies are heading west by way of Providence. And yes, they're hoping for some divine providence along the way. This team is hot, Big East champs for the first time since 2000. Since January 1st, they are 19-1. 19-1, the Johnnies. Only a 2-point loss to Villanova stands in their way of perfection in 2025. They are one of the hottest teams entering the NCAA tournament. They have the best defense in the country, according to KenPom. Defense travels. We'll see how far the Johnnies can travel. Hopefully to San Francisco for the West Regional and all the way to the Alamo Dome in San Antonio for the Final Four. And to get you ready, Johnny's Nation, I've got Zach Braziller from the New York Post on today's pod. He has been there every step of the way with St. John's. He'll join me in just a few minutes to share his thoughts and predictions for St. John's, UConn, and more. Plus, I wasn't ready for this. No one was. Iona simply shocked the basketball world on Monday when they fired Tobin Anderson after just two seasons and a trip to the MAC championship game. A lot of people, a lot of fans, coaches, colleagues, Iona players were saying, WTF just happened. I'm still in shock. It doesn't make sense, even though I've heard the explanations and read them to help make sense of it, if that's even possible. I'll speak with longtime Westchester resident, Iona insider, and host of the College Hoops Chat podcast. His name is Jim Maizano. Jim does a fantastic job, all right, covering college basketball in the Northeast and specifically Iona. He's got a YouTube channel. You can catch him on X. He has been watching and covering the Gales for decades, and he is coming on the podcast in just a few minutes as well. We'll get to all of that, but first, thanks to my sponsor, Mike Supa of RE/MAX Revolution. If you're looking to buy, sell, or list a home down the Jersey Shore in Monmouth or Ocean Counties, give Mike a call at 201-988-2577 and tell him that Brian sent you from the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. All right, it's my pleasure to welcome back to the podcast Zach Braziller from the New York Post. Zach's got his bags packed for Providence, and he's hoping that won't be the last stop on this St. John's Express, hoping it'll head west to San Francisco and then south to San Antonio for the Final Four. Zach, how's that sound, buddy?
I would be, I think St. John's fans would like that. That would be pretty cool. You know, I think the draw is tough after this first weekend. I think they get through the first weekend, you know, somewhat easily. But I think the second weekend is going to be really tough.
Texas, yeah.
Austin Beach, Florida, it's not going to be easy.
Well, let's talk about that. You and your article in the Post, you know, called this the toughest region. I want to get to that a little bit. Hey, before I start, Zach, have you been following what's been going on at your alma mater, Drew University, with the men's basketball team?
I have not.
You have not. So you did not know that your Drew University Rangers in Madison, New Jersey, qualified for the D3 NCAA men's basketball tournament for the first time ever. Is this breaking news?
For me, it is, yeah.
Yeah, man, yeah. Yeah, they got a good team over there. You know, they're ranked in the top 25 this year.
And, wow.
Unfortunately, they lost in the first round. But, yeah, big things happening over there with Michael McSloy and Drew University. So hopefully this isn't, you know, it's their first trip to the D3 NCAAs. Hopefully it's not their last. We got to get you to give them some coverage next year, Zach.
maybe.
You know, there's no, there's no conflict of interest there. They're in New Jersey, so close enough. All right. How about St. John's? What a dream season it's been. I don't even know. Listen, and St. John's fans, they're pretty wild, but I don't even know if they're in their wildest dreams. They could have predicted 30 wins, Big East regular season championship, and tournament champions. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, nobody could have predicted this. I mean, 30-4, it's really been hard to believe the kind of year they've had. And, you know, With RJ Lewis and Zubi Adjofor becoming big stars. Obviously, Kari Richmond was awesome. They've dealt with Davon Smith's, shoulder injury for the last basically 2 months. And have been a, he's played, he's been in and out of lineup, and they've been able to survive that. And you've had role players kind of step up. It's been a remarkable year.
What has impressed you the most about this team?
The consistency, I think it's two things. It's the consistency, it's the determination, and it's the way they just in these second halves just bulldoze teams. Like they'll play first half and they'll be okay, or they'll be shaky, and then the second half they're just incredible. I mean, that Creighton game, 57 points, 72% shooting in the second half was just remarkable. That second half was absolutely remarkable, and they've done it all year. They've done these second halves all year where they just take their game to another level that the other team doesn't have. And it'll be interesting to see once, you would think they run into one of these bigger team, these elite teams, whether it's Texas Tech or Florida, is, can that continue? Because they really haven't played anyone of that ilk all year. They haven't played, as Marquette, UConn, Creighton are good teams, but they're not top 10 teams. And they have two teams in their region that are legit top 10 teams. So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens when they run into one of those.
Yeah, second half St. John's. That's a great point. I love their attitude, and how Zubi, RJ, Kadari. They just, I think it was Zubi's quote one game. He just said, "We just do whatever it takes to win." When you hear someone say that, it's like, wow, they've bought in. How about the defense? Have you ever seen a team play defense like this? They are now number one in KenPom defensive efficiency.
A few people have said this, going back a few months, that they're a lot like they play a lot like Houston. They defend a lot like Houston. They have that grit, that toughness, that ability to basically switch everything. I think Zubi is a huge part of it, because when you have a guy who can protect the rim but also defend guards, it just it's a game changer. So few teams have a big guy who can do that, and so they can switch every action, and that's just such a big thing, I think.
Listen, I love the way this team defends. Relentless, that's a word we've heard about this St. John's team. Does it concern you? Their shooting, right, or lack of from the three-point line, and the fact that they're such a poor free throw shooting team.
I think the free throws are more concerning, because the three pointers have gotten a bit better. They're making, they're making around six or seven lately. Sometimes they're making a little more, and that you've seen an uptick in that. But the free throws, yes, is a concern, because you got to make you're gonna ha you have to make free throws in these games. Their free throws can kill you in these games. They've got to make them. And Kadari's been a very up and down at the line. He had a stretch where he really was making them. Now lately he's not making them again. Zubi is better of late, but he's an issue. RJ's good at the line. Aaron's got to be Wiltshire good at the line. But yeah, I mean, Davon Smith is up and down. Like, they need to make free they're gonna need to make free throws once the, when they see a Texas Tech or a Florida, they have to make free throws. And yeah, I think that's a bigger concern than the three.
Kadari's a head scratcher. I think he finally rounded into form. I think it was around when Davon Smith went down with the shoulder injury, and that's really when we saw Kadari rise up. It's been great to see him play like the Kadari that we've seen the last 3 years at Seton Hall. Hard to believe that I guess this will be his second NCAA tournament appearance. How much is he looking forward to this?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kadari's been absolutely awesome since the new year. Number January 2nd have been crazy. Just doing absolutely everything. Yeah, it's look, he's been great. I think almost gets a little overshadowed because of RJ winning the player of the year in the MLP, but Kadari's been fantastic. I think he averaged something like 11 points, 10 rebounds, and like 7 assists in the Big East tournament, and like 2 steals. He's been so good. He doesn't have to score big for this team. He just does a little bit of everything. And yeah, I mean, he just impacts the game in so many different ways. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see him get another shot at the tournament.
So, Zach, you look at this matchup. Let's talk about this first round game against Omaha. It's a 15 versus a 2. First of all, the environment. They're going to Providence. I mean, Patino couldn't have picked a better spot to be. They're very familiar place for St. John's and Providence.
Yeah, I expect big St. John's crowds. The Providence fans really love Patino. I think it's going to be a decided home court advantage for them. I know Kansas travels well, so if they play Kansas, you would expect a lot of Kansas fans there. But yeah, I think it's a, for a while I felt this was, a fait accompli. This was where they were going to end up. So yeah, I'm not really surprised. But yeah, you would think there'll be a lot of St. John's fans there. It's obviously not that far. I think it's going to be a really good home court advantage.
Yeah, and even not quite like the Garden, but you bring up an excellent point, right? I mean, he brought Providence to the Final Four in 87 in his second season. So, the Providence there will be Providence basketball fans there, and I would tend to think that they would root for St. John's.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
think there'll be a really good home court advantage, no question about
Excellent point. So, Omaha, on paper, listen, one team defends, the other team doesn't. So that's why St. John's is an 18.5-point favorite. Where does Omaha give St. John's any type of trouble, do you think?
it. They can shoot threes. They shoot at about 36%. They have two guards who really shoot threes well. They have a good forward, the player of the year in the Summit League. It's the NCAA tournament. There are no gimmies. St. John's gonna have to play well. They're gonna have to bring it. I can only assume this week Patino is hammering home that we haven't done anything yet. That the Big East tournament was nice, but March Madness is where you make your name. And is basically telling them you lose this game, everything we've done doesn't matter. So I expect them to be ready to go. They're going to defend the 3-point line. That to me is probably the biggest key in this game. You can't let the other team hit a ton of threes. But outside of that, it's hard to see this game being competitive.
You're right. Anything can happen. It is a mismatch. Like we said, I think St. John's tries to hammer them inside. I think points in the paint, offensive rebounding, could fall, to St. John's strengths right there. Could play into their favor. What do you think?
Yeah, no question about it. They got to do what they do. They got to get out in transition. They got to defend the 3-point line, score inside. It's new for a lot of these guys. Basically everyone, I mean, Zubi kind of played in the tournament, but didn't really play much at Kansas. It was earlier in Kadari's career, and nobody else really has NCAA tournament experience. So it's new. It'll be interesting to see how they handle this stage. It's good that you get this first one like this, where it's not, you can kind of probably not play your best and win, and get used to the excitement and all that stuff. So I think that definitely helps them.
Yeah, on the other side of their little pod is, like you said, Kansas and Arkansas. I don't think it was a coincidence that the NCAA committee saw this and, thought, hey, Patino versus Bill Self, Patino versus, ooh, John Calipari. That second round matchup, should St. John's win, could really have some juice.
Yeah, I mean it could be a lot of fun. I mean, Calipari Patino, Calipari Self, Zubi obviously started at Kansas, so that's interesting. Kansas also has AJ Storr, who was a freshman at St. John's before Patino arrived. So yeah, there are plenty of fun storylines for a potential Saturday game, whoever they play. And I think Arkansas is going to win. I don't think Kansas is very good. I think Arkansas has been playing better. Boogie Flan, the star freshman from the Bronx, sounds like he'll be back from a broken thumb. So yeah, I think there's a good chance of Arkansas, St. John's, Patino, Calipari. It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Boogie Flam was I want to say he was on his way to Kentucky, and then he
Yes.
followed Calipari to Arkansas, and you know him well from his days, at playing in New York City. So I would love to see that. I would love to see these two friends. In some ways they were foes. Both coached and won a championship at Kentucky. It's pretty cool stuff. That to me, I'd sign up for. And I hate Kansas personally, so I would love that. I would love that. So, Zach, you listen, and let's hope. Listen, we know anything can happen. Let's hope St. John's can get to that second game, and hopefully beyond. The way this team defends, I think they're able to overcome efficiencies and deficiencies, I should say, and hopefully get to that second weekend. That would be something. Before I get to the region, last question about, the Johnnies and just the atmosphere. Just how cool was it this season? You've been in the garden so many times over the years covering St. John's. And, whatever there was, 9, 10, 11,000, right? There's a little bit of juice, but a lot of empty seats. Just how cool was it to be in that building this year and see the number of sellouts and the buzz of that crowd and the roar of the city getting behind St. John's? What was it like to be in the building so many times?
Yeah, it was absolutely nothing like I've ever experienced. Saturday night was the loudest I've ever heard the Garden for St. John's. It sounded like a Knicks playoff game. It was Saturday night was incredible. It was just so loud. The crowd was just so good. And yeah, I mean, look, they're selling out the Garden. People are really into it. I think they had the St. John's had the back page of my paper 4 straight days. I would think starting Wednesday for Thursday, it'll probably be the same. They'll have it another four, if they get to the second weekend, they'll probably have it to another 4 straight days. It's people are really into it, man. Like, it's fun stuff, and it shows. New York is the front runner town. I've always felt that way. I said this. The St. John's right now feels a little like the Rangers in the spring when they're good and they're in the playoffs, where all of a sudden everyone's like a Ranger fan. Now all of a sudden everyone's a St. John's fan. So it that's the comparison I make. But yeah, it's been great. And it I don't think this is like a 1 year thing. Like he's crazy, man. He wants to coach for several more years. And like the financial backing they have, and look, Zubi Edgerfor will be back. RJ Lewis, I think, could be back. I think he'll test the draft waters, and we'll see. They're gonna bring back some pretty good guys. I think could help on the bench. Then they're gonna add some, probably 3 or 4 pretty good transfers. So I think they'll be very good next year too. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun right now.
Yeah, he's got it rolling, and I personally, I think RJ's ready for the pros, but does the NBA come calling? If not, my God, you're getting two first team All Big East players, returning, including the reigning player of the year. Sign them up for number one in the preseason rankings already, if that happens, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I think the two international kids, Prey and Leontopoulos, will be very good reserves next year. Sadiku Ayo has shown you he could help and play well off the bench. I'm big on Wiltshire. We'll see. I think he'll be back. I think Wiltshire's a guy that could really, really explode as a junior. He's got the talent. Yeah, I mean, they're gonna be. Even if RJ doesn't come back, they'll go in the portal and get someone good to replace them. They're going to be really good for the years to come.
Yeah, they have the formula, and they have the coach, they have the backing, they have the NIL operative, they have it rolling right now. But listen, still games to be played this year, and I know, okay, let's talk about this region. You called it in New York Sports Plus. You called it the toughest of the four regions. Why?
I think Florida's playing as well as anyone. I think Texas Tech is by far the best three seed. Maryland, I think, is the best four seed. I think it's really good. I think we're going to see chalk to the second weekend. I think we're going to see Florida, Maryland, St. John's, Texas Tech. Although I do think Drake could be a team to watch. I really like Drake. I think Drake could be a team to watch and could give Texas Tech some problems in the second round. But I think we're getting chalk to San Francisco. I think we get a Maryland, which would be an absolutely incredible doubleheader. Maryland, Florida, St. John's, Texas Tech would be great, and I would love it because I get to see my buddy Kevin. I was hoping Kevin was going to be in Providence. I was very disappointed. That would have been absolutely awesome. I haven't seen my guy in forever. But so that so I'm rooting for St. John's to see. I'm rooting for Maryland to get through. I would love to see Kevin in San Francisco. Maybe we could get a nice glass of wine or something.
I love it.
But yeah,
He always looks forward to you, Zach.
I love the top four seeds, man. I think it's the best region. I think Florida's playing absolutely awesome, and I think Texas Tech and Maryland are the best three and four seeds in the bracket.
I love Maryland. I've seen them twice in person, watched them a lot on TV. Derek Queen is going to be a lottery pick. He's legit. They have guards that can shoot. Julian Reese obviously is an up and down player, but he can be a force. It's Kevin Willard's, best team outside of that, 1920 team with Miles Powell. It's good. They are. But you're right. I don't know if they're Final Four good, but I think they're second weekend good.
I would imagine a Patino Willard Elite Eight game. That would be freaking amazing. I think Maryland's really good. I think they can give Florida problems, and I think St. John's Texas Tech would basically be a toss-up. I think Texas Tech is terrific. St. John's Texas Tech were basically jockeying for that last number two seed the last few weeks of the season, and St. John's just edged them out. But yeah, Texas Tech is great, and JT Toppin and Zubi Ejiofor would be so much fun, and it would be a really good game.
Yeah, there are some dudes. So Zach, give us your final four.
I picked Florida to beat St. John's in the Elite Eight. I picked Duke over BYU, picked Michigan State over Texas A&M, and my sleeper was Gonzaga. I had two, I had, I didn't want to go too much chalk, and I think Gonzaga's playing great.
So they knock off Houston in the second round.
Houston's got to be absolutely furious. That's their second round game. That's not an eight seed. I know they're an eight seed because of resume. But they're not an eight seed, man. Like they're real. They're playing great. They just beat St. Mary's. I really like Gonzaga. I think they have like the third best odds in that region to make the Final Four, which is crazy for an eight seed, which shows that they have no business being an eight seed.
Right. We saw that in 2016 when they were underseeded as a six seed and or an 11 seed. They were an 11 and Seton Hall was the six. So, yeah, this has happened to them before and they always seem to get to the Sweet 16 no matter what. Normally they're one or two seed, but listen, would you rather face them or, how about UConn? Do they have a puncher's chance?
I have a hard time seeing UConn get past the second round. They just don't defend nearly well enough. Look, if they hit a million threes, you never know. But I have a hard time seeing it. I think Florida's a really bad matchup with their size and their offensive ability. I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised. I think that's a tall order for that UConn team.
Yeah, I just think that, and Danny knows it. He's going to take this team as far as he can. But I just think that, it doesn't have that UConn grit, that UConn fire, right? That we're used to seeing the past couple of years. And I don't know if they can find the switch. Oklahoma, they should get by them, but it wouldn't shock me if UConn loses in the first round. It's a tall order to think this UConn team, can get to the second weekend. So, which. Hey, if anyone could do it's Danny and UConn, but I'm on your side in that. I don't think that they have the horses this year.
Nah, they'll be like against Florida, they'll be like an 8, 9 point underdog at least. That's you're just asking too much, I think.
Right. All right, Zach, one team, last thought here. One team that can be a bracket buster. You named one in Drake. Is there one team that you're falling in love with to say, hey, a 10 seed or lower?
I had BYU with the Elite Eight. I know there are six.
Okay.
I love BYU. Yeah, I'd probably go Drake, as a potential one that could get to a Sweet 16. I think they're really good. You don't win 30 games by accident. Their star guard, Bennett Sturts, is incredible. I'd be worried, if I'm Texas Tech, I hope Tech Drake loses that first round game because I think Drake's really good.
All right, Zach Brazil, New York Post. Give him a follow on Twitter. And of course, catch all of his articles on NewYorkPost.com. Zach, always great talking to you. Thanks for the time.
All right, thanks, bud. Talk to you later.
All right, the great Zach Braziller from St. John's and New York Post. And listen, Zach knows everything St. John's, and he's a guy that has been there every step of the way through the ups and downs, through Mike Anderson, and now, of course, with the highs of Rick Pitino. He knows St. John's has him going to the Elite Eight. I tend to think that could be their ceiling, but if anyone can get a team to a Final Four, it's Rick Pitino. But they are in a tough region. So we say goodbye to Zach, and we say hello to Jim Mezzano, who is New Rochelle through and through. Unfortunately, the news of Tobin Anderson being fired from Iona really not only rocked the Mac world, but rocked the entire college basketball world. And if anyone can share information about Iona and Iona basketball, it is Jim Mezzano from College Hoops Chat Podcast. Jim, it is a pleasure to have you on. We follow each other on Twitter, and I'm a fan, and I thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Brian. Very nice you'd invite me, and I'm a fan too. You're a very intelligent person on X. That's quite a compliment.
Well, maybe I'm a little smarter than you think, smarter than the average bear,
Okay,
is what I
good.
like to say. So,
Good.
Jim, thank you, by the way. Jim, what the hell is going on? Why was Tobin, let go after just 2 years?
So I heard rumblings about this, let's say January, but I just thought it was rumblings. I thought it was rumor and gossip and innuendo. And I mean, let's face it, Tobin got left a barren team when he walked in the prior season after Rick Pitino. He had to bring in 13 guys. He was late to recruiting because by the time he got the job, he was already like a month behind both the portal and recruiting. So it was very hard for Tobin last year. He put the better put together the best team possible, and Iona was just average last year. This year, he had more time to get his team together. He tried to bring guys in to play his style and build a team, and it was a team that started slow because it was again 13 new players. Because the prior year was a bit of an odd way he threw together a team, they didn't stay. But this year was more of his year. We had a full year to recruit and build a team. This was more his team. But it took a while for 13 guys to gel. So, if you look at the numbers, Iona started slow. They were kind of a roller coaster team, a lot of up and down play. They lost more than they should have. So in January, it didn't look great, Brian. Didn't look great in Brian in January for Iona. But then they got on a run. This 13 player team kind of gelled. And I believe the number was going into the championship game, they won 12 of 16 games. And they were like the hottest team in the MAC. And then they beat Quinnipiac, who's a darn good team. Quinnipiac's the most talented team in the MAC, and they beat them in the semifinals. So because of what I just said to you, right, you would think no thoughtful person would be like, it's time to push out Tobin Anderson. Not only did he build this team, a lot of the players were apparently going to stay for next year. So he not only built the team, but they were going to stay. The best player on their team, Day-Day Reeves, had already publicly announced he was coming back with his 17 points a game, Brian. He was coming back, and I believed, and I think a lot of people believed, since Day-Day was coming back, the star, a lot of the other guys were going to come back too. So I think Tobin was in a good place Saturday night. I mean, they had the lead at halftime. Tobin was the coach. It looked like a lot of guys were going to come back for next year, that they had really built something that was going to keep getting better next year for Iona. And pretty good, right? They're in the final game, Brian, and they were in the lead at the beginning of the second half. Not a bad place to be, Brian. They were 20 minutes away from going to the NCAA tournament. Believe it or not, Brian, here's what I could tell you.
Okay.
When I walked out of the press conference with Tobin, I already started hearing the rumors. It was that fast. It was that fast.
So this was, I'm Jim. This was in the, like you said, rumbling since January. This was in the works, whether Tobin won or not. I mean, what if he had won? God forbid he won.
I'm not sure of this answer I'm about to give you, but I'm hearing from sources that had he made the NCAA tournament, he was getting fired anyway, which to me is so bizarre and so ridiculous. But that they had made their mind up back in January. Now, look, it was apparently decided a while back. I think it kind of was on the down low. Number one, because they was going to wait to the end of the season, but number two, because Tobin was doing so well. The
Right.
team was doing so well. So it was kind of on the down low, but the rumors and people like texting about it happened instantaneously when the press conference ended right after the Mount St. Mary's game.
Could Tobin have seen any of this coming?
I don't know, Brian. I haven't talked to Tobin yet. And, I wanted to kind of leave him alone, so I didn't call him because I think that he's in a really bad place right now. He's probably feeling terrible. I think so. I can only tell you what I think. I think he had some idea. I believe he had some idea. Maybe he thought he could save himself by finishing strong. And of course, eventually it turned out we had a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. He may have thought he could save himself. That's something I think is possible.
Okay, so where did this come from? Did this come from the boosters? Did this come from the athletic director?
I am being told literally from every source that this is completely from big money donors to Iona through the NIL and other. This is money guys who around the Iona program that began approaching the president and others, and I guess the board of trustees back in January, that a change needs to happen. This is what I'm being told.
So, in a statement, Athletic Director Matthew Glavaski, is it? And I'm quoting him, "With the impact of NIL changing college basketball in ways no one could have imagined, Iona feels the need to shift the direction of our men's basketball program. This requires an overhaul of our entire business model and program structure." This goes way above Tobin's ability to coach on the floor, because we know he can coach, Jim. Not too many guys can bring in 13 new players 2 years in a row and get them to gel by January and be really, 20 minutes from going to the NCAA tournament. And he beat Purdue at FDU, right? We know his resume. We know all of his success that he had at Division II Stack. So what does this mean? This requires an overhaul of our entire business model and program structure.
So I'm so glad you read that because isn't it bizarre
I'm
when you read
still
that statement? It's like a
reading.
bizarre statement. So I'm going to tell you what I believe based on talking to people all day yesterday. So this
Okay.
is my belief. I believe that this did not come from the athletic department. I do not believe this firing came from the athletic department. I do not. I obviously they had the athletic director write that statement, but I don't believe it came from him. And it's not about basketball because, as you said, if you ever look at Tobin's career record, it's fabulous. I mean, everywhere he's been, he was a winner. He's got this famous win against Purdue at FDU, but look at what he did at St. Thomas Aquinas. He's one of the biggest winners in the country over a long period of time in Division II. He's
Right.
nothing but a winner. So it's not about basketball. So what is it about? From what I'm hearing, the people who were involved in this believed that they need to change the whole approach for Iona College basketball, and they need to raise a ton of money on NIL, and they need people involved with the program that are engaged with NIL, and that NIL is the future. Is going to be the promised land for Iona, that they're going to raise a lot of money, and by making this coaching change and bring this other coach in from the NBA, who's an assistant coach with the Pelicans, they could move forward to a new chapter where NIL is the central piece of the Iona College basketball, and they're going to raise so much money, they're going to be able to pay the best players to come to Iona and play basketball.
So hire a GM, hire somebody who knows NIL and take it away from Tobin so that he can do what he does best, shape and mold young men and win with the players you're bringing in. Am I missing something here, Jim?
That's what I thought, Brian. That was my exact view yesterday as I was going through all this. I mean, I'll give you an example. So two teams I root for in my life for various reasons. I attended St. Bonaventure. I root for St. Bonaventure. That's what they just did. They understood exactly what these allegedly, these Iona donors are saying. And so St. Bonaventure brought Woj in. They
Yeah, guy
brought
by
some
the
more
name of
business
Adrian
people into
Wojnarowski.
the
Yes.
program. To deal with the business side of college basketball. And the better example, because there was a ton of press about it, you could just read it, is through some type of intervention, they had to bring the North Carolina program together and bring in a general manager and more business-minded people, because they felt Hubert Davis wasn't moving the Tar Heels towards this new era of college basketball. Like I saw a quote, for instance, Brian. I'm not sure if it's true, but it's interesting. The quote was that Cooper Flagg's NIL money at Duke is more than the entire North Carolina program. An example that they've got to up their game.
Oh my God.
Right. So that's a crazy
Oh
stat,
my
right?
God.
And if true, that's why North Carolina had to change what they were doing too. Exactly what you said. They brought a very respected general manager in, and they're bringing more business people into the athletic program to make athletic decisions about the future
Right.
of North Carolina basketball, and St. Bonaventure did that. There's accountability. These decisions are made by the athletic department in consultation with the money guys. They're part of the conversation, but they're not in charge. Apparently, they're in charge at Iona.
So, well, listen, I get it. The boosters, money talks, I get it. At every level, the boosters have an influence because they're the ones channeling the money into the program. I understand that. And even at Iona, there's money coming in. There are big money donors, all right? Maybe not at Duke levels, but they're coming in. So it's still insane that this leads me to believe that there had to have been a difference of opinion with how Tobin wanted to handle it. Maybe he wanted to be more Bill Parcells, right? Maybe he wanted to shop for the groceries. I don't know. Maybe he wanted to handle NIL. Are you hearing any of that? That there was a power struggle and a difference of opinion in how they wanted to move forward?
I haven't heard that. The only thing I've heard was that the NIL people were very disappointed with how Iona was playing in January, which led them to make this decision.
Oh my God. Great. And look what happens. Sometimes teams peak in March. Hello. And I know you're on the same page here, but it infuriates me. You know what? We're gonna get to Dan Jerio in a second. I've never heard of him. Never heard of Dan Jerio until yesterday. Okay, until Monday. So I want to learn more about this guy, but this assistant coach they're bringing in, they have a winning coach in place. You said it. They had the guy. In the future, if this blows up and Jerio's out in 2 years, who the hell is going to want to come to this madhouse in New Rochelle?
A very fair question. Based on what transpired in the yesterday, and as we now know, apparently been happening for months, you wonder why a coach would want to come to Iona when they see a bit of a fiasco in the leadership of the school as they make this decision and fire a very good college basketball coach who was 20 minutes from taking a team that frankly wasn't that great. It was a good team, wasn't a great team. He was 20 minutes from taking his good team to the NCAA tournament after they beat a very good team in the semifinals, Quinnipiac, the best team in the regular season of the MAC. So there's no question about Tobin's coaching ability. And there's no question that Tobin did a really good job this year with the Ione University basketball team. I and most of the fans are confused, discouraged, outraged by how all this was handled.
Yeah, and Tobin's the same way. Hurt, shocked, stunned. He's a good guy. He will coach. He will coach again, without a doubt. And let's not even, Jim. Let's listen. Chris Corso. Let's go around the MAC, right? Chris Corso had a ton of talent last year at Fairfield. Couldn't win it. Tom Pokora, 2 years in a row, wins the regular season in the MAC, and can't win the championship. Joey Gallo had a great year at Merrimack. I mean, Tobin's path, he beat a red hot Manhattan team and who has a very good coach in John Gallagher, then beats the two-time, reigning regular season champs, and unfortunately ran into a team in Mount St. Mary's that no, even in the wild, wild MAC, nobody predicted Mount St. Mary's to win this tournament. They got hot at the right time, and that's what can happen in this tournament. In a neutral site that is half empty like Atlantic City. That's another story. Tell me about Dangerio, please.
I don't know much about him. I really don't. I mean, I just went online like you did yesterday to read about him. He's an assistant coach. He's coached at college and pro levels. He's got a lot of assistant coaching experience. He did coach in the G League, not very well, if you look at the record when he coached in the G League. But I mean, obviously, G League is complex. The coach of G League team, you don't know what kind of collection players you have. So I'm not going to
Has
dwell
never
on
been a
his.
college coach. That's what you're telling me. That's what I'm
He's been
seeing.
a college assistant coach, not a college head coach.
Never a college head coach. This is their guy, Jim. This is the guy Iona has handpicked for months
So here's what I will
to
say to that.
replace Tobin Anderson.
Here's what I'll say to that, Ryan. As a fan, a lifelong fan, like almost 50-year fan, like no, more than 50-year fan of Iona, why would you hire a coach in this fashion? No search, no interviews, no let's bring in the five best possible coaches and go through a process. I mean, not only was it wrong that they fired Tobin and handled it horrendously, but they didn't handle the hiring of the new coach well either. I mean, what kind of process is this? Where's the accountability? Where's the due diligence? Where's the search by intelligent people around the Iona program to bring in the best possible candidates? None of that happened.
I know it's not official yet, but when do you expect it to be official?
I think very soon.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, it's out there. It's out there, and everyone is reporting the same name, Dangerio. Like you said, Pelicans assistant coach. Listen, I'm not rooting against Iona. I'm not, but the skeptic in me, I mean, this is the winningest program in MAC history. No one's even close, right? It is a coveted, coveted mid-major, low-major, mid-major program. They are the class of the MAC, and they couldn't have mishandled this any worse. But I am still left with so many answers. I mean, so many, answers to questions that I don't think we'll ever get.
I'm not happy. I love Iona. I love the university. I have tons of friends that went to Iona. My brother graduated from Iona. I love the school. I've loved the basketball program my whole life, going back to Jimmy Valvano. Believe it or not, the CYO coach at my grammar school was an assistant coach at Iona. How about that?
Yeah, there you
And I
go.
knew his two sons who were my friends growing up. So I've been to, I mean, I love Iona. And I'll quote my mother, if you don't mind, Brian. Let me quote my mother.
Please do.
My mother used to say, Jimmy, there's a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to do things. I'm expecting you to do things the right way. That didn't happen at Iona in the last few days.
And you have the last word there, Jim. Jim, it took us a while to get together, but man, I really enjoyed this. Thank you for your knowledge, your passion, and your information, and hope to have you back on the podcast very soon. You can catch Jim on Twitter. You can follow his College Hoops Chat podcast on YouTube. Subscribe to him. And it's not just about Iona. It's about basketball, college basketball, St. Bonaventure. I guess you're an attorney too, and you still do some attorney work, right? So if anyone needs an attorney, can they call you too?
Yeah, I'm still attorney, and I work for the Westchester County government as well. So I practice less law than I ever did before, but I am still working full time.
Yeah, you do it all, Jim. It's a pleasure. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, Jim Maisano, what a wild, wild beginning of this week it has been. I'm still flabbergasted, stunned, shocked, just like he is. If I am, and I'm not, inside the program, you heard it. You heard his passion. You heard his frustration, how stunned he was, hurt. This better work. This better work. And if not, and I really have my doubts, I really have my doubts, like a lot of people. I don't think it's going to work. I think it's destined to blow up. I don't know this guy, Jerry O, but I find it hard to believe he's just going to walk in there and roll out the balls with tons of NIL money and suddenly they're going to win. And listen, there's already an exodus. There is already an exodus in New Rochelle. DeJour Reeves, first team All-MAC, who had announced he was going to return, their best player is gone in the portal. Adam Njai, one of the best freshmen in the MAC, from the Bronx, from Cardinal Hayes, a player who had multiple offers from higher Division I programs, including Seton Hall, including Washington State. He has entered the portal. It's only a matter of time before all or most of them leave, and then we're going to see how much this NIL operative and how much Coach Giroux can come in and win as quickly and as often as these Iona boosters and the athletic department wants him to win. If not, it's going to be curtains sooner rather than later. That's all I can say about that. And that will do it for this edition of the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. My thanks to Jim. My thanks to Zach Braziller. Enjoy the games, everyone. Thank you for listening, downloading, and sharing the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. Enjoy March Madness. It doesn't get any better than this. In my book, this time of the year, March Madness is here. My name is Brian Dean of Ellis. Enjoy the games, everyone. So long.